All right, guys, welcome back. It is good to be with you guys. So here's really quick. I just got this feeling while we were worshiping that I needed to come up and ask the worship team just to do that last little piece of worship. Just have the guys sing and just have the ladies sing. And here was my thought behind that was there's a distinction between men and women. And it is a beautiful thing. It really is. God has made us unique in that. Hearing the deeper baritone of men singing worship songs together is unique and awesome. But also, on the other hand, hearing the higher, sweeter sound of the females in the room singing is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And so I thought that would be a good way to get into what we're going to do tonight, because we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to do something a little different. And that is, we talk a lot, because I'm the old guy in the room. And so when we were doing a dating series like this one, I go to these guys a lot and be like, all right, what's happening in the world of dating? Because I'm not in the dating world and haven't been for a long time. And so we were talking, and I thought in the middle of one of our conversations, which we were all kind of arguing and disagreeing and making really good points, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, but this is what I would say to that point. Like, just this back and forth. I thought, you know what, we should just do this at the gathering. Like, they should hear the conversation that we're having. Because here's the unique thing about it, is there is, we could be talking about the exact same topic, and because we have a lady and a gentleman on the stage, they may come at it from two totally different perspectives. And so here's what our hope for tonight is that ladies, you will get to hear the male perspective, and guys, you will get to hear a female perspective of the topics that we're going to cover tonight, some of the questions you guys put in on our socials. But here's the thing. We live in a world of offense. And I can promise you, because it's happened in our office, that we might share some things tonight that you disagree with. And that you might just think that's offensive. But here's what I want you, here's what I'm gonna ask you and encourage you to do. Is instead of coming at this with a, how am I gonna win the argument? How am I gonna be right? And how am I gonna prove them wrong? I want us to listen to understand one another. That is the goal tonight, is to understand for the men, to understand your sisters in Christ better. And for the ladies, I want you to understand your brothers in Christ better so that then we can actually love one another. If we are not willing to understand each other, their perspective, in a respectful way, it is going to be really hard to honor them. It is going to be really hard to care for them because they're wrong and I'm right. Does that make sense? We see that in our world today. We're not listening to understand, we're listening to be right. So I want you to put your rightness aside for the next 45 minutes, okay? Our sole desire is to help you. Trust the Lord, because that last song, The Goodness of God, that's the cloud over this whole topic of dating, is we're just not sure if God is trustworthy. We're just not sure. And so we want to hope to point you that way. We're gonna put some verses on the screen. These are gonna be kind of our theme verses for tonight. The first one is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and God will make your paths straight. John 13, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. A new command I give you, says Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then 1 Corinthians 13, 7, 4 through 7, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. Let me repeat that. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always, 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 always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And then lastly, Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourselves. So here's what we're going to do. Obviously, Trayvon is going to represent the dudes, and Oakley is going to present the ladies. Now, does that mean they represent every little nuance and opinion that you have? Absolutely not. But the perspective is what we're trying to understand, all right? So let's get going. I'll stop talking. I'm going to do my best not to talk anymore. I'm just going to ask questions. So what's first topic tonight? Like, what is your thoughts on the topic of singleness? And just, I'm single right now. Maybe no prospects. I'm single. I don't want to be. Or I'm single. I want to be single. What's wrong? I don't need a date. Why are you telling me I should date? Like, what's the perspective?
Yeah, I think I wanted to start here tonight because I recognize we're in a dating series, and some of you, it was fun to read the questions and things that you sent into our Instagram and just having conversations with a lot of you. There are a lot of people in this room that are single and honestly really enjoy that they're single and they feel confident and they're content. And so I just wanted to at least touch on that before we get into obviously talking about dating and, you know, how to date well and what does that look like, because that might not be the season you're in, and that's completely fine. I was talking with a friend earlier this week, and we were talking about how singleness sometimes in the church can feel like this disease to be cured or this problem to be solved, when in reality, I'm like, singleness is a gift, dating is a gift, marriage is a gift, so why do we want to trade in a really great gift for something that might be subpar if that's the great gift that God has called you into in this season of your life? So I just want to empower our single friends, like men and women both in this room tonight, that you feel a calling in your life to continue on in where God has you and in the places that he has you. You are advancing the gospel. You're living missionally. I would never, ever, ever want to encourage you to compromise any of that for any sort of relationship or to move on to the thing that feels more valued, because that's just not it. And so I know that is not everyone's story in the room tonight, and that's not how everyone feels. But I know there are some of you in this room that are feeling that way. And some of you that maybe should strive for a little bit more contentment in your singleness. Are we allowed to say that? Because it's good. It's holy and it's honoring. The main goal in anyone's life, no matter what season you find yourself in, is to be a disciple of Jesus and make disciples. That is foundational. Everything else is secondary. And so whether you are single in the room tonight or dating, let it be that you are being the best disciple of Jesus that you can be, and that you are living daily to make disciples and make Jesus known. So I could probably go on a lot longer than that, but I just want to empower those in the room that find themselves in that place tonight.
I'd echo what you said of, like, in singleness, it's such a great opportunity to thrive and find a wholeness in your spiritual walk, but even just your mental, physical, everything. I mean, my wife is watching, so I want to be careful how I say this, but there was a lot of freedom when I was single to be able to learn about myself and enjoy myself, whether it's the freedom to travel, the freedom to engage in friendships and so much. And so don't get caught up in the grass is greener of you could rush into a bad relationship and figure out that your singleness was a lot better. And so, like, a good, healthy marriage is such a gift, but don't rush into one and find yourself on the opposite end, because if you are unhealthy, like, while you're single and you have all these needs and different things, they will follow you into dating and into a marriage. And so just to echo what she said of, like, it really is the goal of your spiritual wholeness, even while you're single, and seeing all that God is putting in front of you.
The last thing I'll say on this specifically, maybe, actually no promises on that. We'll see if I circle back around to it later tonight. But I hear a lot of times, and I myself, when I was single, I remember having this fear. Like, there were times where I felt more content in my singleness than other times, but there was always a desire that I did have, that I wanted to be married, I wanted to have a family someday. And so there was this thought in the back of my brain when I was single, what if I never find someone? And what if I never actually get married, because it's not promised and we don't know? And what if God's plans for me are to just endure and be single, and that's the thorn in my flesh for the rest of my life? Like, that sounded terrifying. And so we were talking about this earlier this week, and I was like, that's a very, very legitimate fear. Can we call it that? A fear and a concern. And so I was thinking through some of this, and in our conversations, that was kind of the question specifically with singleness is, what if I don't get married, and what if God never provides a spouse? And then I started thinking about some other questions that began to circulate that maybe are different, like a different shade of kind of that core fear, but nonetheless are questions concerning struggle or whatever it might be. So I wrote some other ones down. What if I struggle with homosexual tendencies for the rest of my life and I'm never freed from that? What if I get into an abusive marriage that ends in divorce and it's not what I expected? What if I'm barren and I never have kids? What if my spouse dies early into our marriage because of sickness or a tragedy? What if I struggle with significant depression and anxiety for the rest of my life and battle feelings of loneliness and insecurity that I may never be enough in a marriage, or fill in the blank with whatever lie that takes shape in your mind? And then I thought to myself, what if we're not actually asking the right question? Like, what if the question is, how in whatever struggle it is, because all of us have it, how in fill in the blank struggle do I keep coming back to the vine? Do I keep coming back to Jesus? Do I keep coming back to God? I think of John 15, it's just on loop in my brain right now, that without God and without being connected to the vine, I can actually do nothing. So how in whatever I'm going through, do I persevere and keep coming back to a place of dependency and submission to the Father, knowing that He can provide and He can trust, or He can provide and I can trust Him, that I can keep coming back to have my dependence strengthened in Him? Like, what are those questions look like? And how do we as a church band together to support each other in that type of struggle, that type of perseverance? Because that's ultimately what matters. If you have one of those questions that feels resolved in your life, there will be another one that comes up and another one that comes up and another one that comes up. And it's consistent opportunity for us to come back to the vine and come back to God, to rely on Him to be our sufficiency, to rely on Him to be good enough and trustworthy enough that He knows what you need and He can and will provide for that. So I don't know exactly what that looks like for you in your life tonight, but John 15, I wanted that to kind of be foundational, whether you're single or dating, as we're having this discussion, that we keep coming back to Him in every season.
What stands out to me about what you're saying, Oakley, is abiding in Christ is how we work through every hard. It's hard to be single. It's hard to be married. But the consistent thing is to abide in Christ. We can abide in a lot of things. I think a lot of things that we are going to talk about are, we abide in fear. We abide in the what if instead of abiding in Christ. So let's shift from singleness into dating. So I know that we all have a lot of conversations with a lot of young adults over the last whatever years. But most recently, what are we seeing? What are we hearing in the last, let's say, 6 months to 8 months? From the girls' perspective about the dating culture that they are currently living in?
I've heard some great stories, I will say. I at least want to acknowledge that. I have heard of some stories of courageous and bold men that have stepped in to ask someone on a date, even if it didn't go anywhere, didn't end in a relationship. Like, I have heard of some amazing stories of people handling dating situations very honorably, very kindly, and very respectfully.
Way to go, guys.
So good job. I do at least want to say that. I am hearing that.
And here comes the but.
But. What else are you hearing, Oakley?
And also hear me say, I care about each of you deeply. So I'm coming into this conversation as if I'm sitting across having coffee with a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And all of what hopefully we share tonight, like we've prayed a lot about this. And so we only want to share things that are for the building up of everyone in this room. Nonetheless, I have, as I've talked with girls in the ministry, and granted, that's why we're both up here, because men, hold your horses, Trayvon's going to also provide a guy's perspective, but I'm sitting a lot more with women in the ministry.
Listening to understand.
I know, so many disclaimers in this talk. And I'm sitting with them. And what I hear, just to kind of highlight some not so great stories, not so great shining moments from you lovely men in the ministry, I'm hearing about, some guys that maybe are in person, really flirtatious, really friendly, can come and find the girls, want to kind of single them out, come have conversations, maybe even sliding into the DMs, but then actually only just doing that for like 2 or 3 months and never following through to ask someone on a date. And it just kind of, you know, fades out, fizzles out at some point, and the girls are left really wondering what the heck just happened. I'm hearing a lot about men and women individually hanging out one-on-one a lot. I think from the female perspective, that's usually like they're wanting to invest time because there's interest there. But ironically, what I'm hearing a lot of times is that that's not always reciprocated from the guy's side. And yet it seems like guys are okay hanging out one-on-one because they just want some more good girlfriends. I'm not entirely sure. Texting a lot one-on-one, you know, and then it not actually going anywhere either. And so there's a lot of texting. There's a lot of, it seems like there's interest there. It seems like I'm pursuing you. All the while, maybe they've already written off this girl as like just a friend, just, you know, someone to hang out with, someone that I enjoy, maybe someone that strokes my ego. I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to throw daggers, but I am just confused because I have often sat with women that as they're kind of in process talking to these men, I'm also like, yeah, it seems like all signs point to go. This guy seems interested. This guy seems like he's intentionally reaching out to you. He's wanting to spend time with you. And then a couple weeks later, they'll come back around and it's like, I either got ghosted or they started talking to me as I'm hanging out with them about the other girl that they have a crush on. Or they just have stopped texting altogether and I never really know what happened and there was no loose end that was tied up. So it has also been very baffling and confusing for me knowing how to counsel these girls and what wisdom to provide. I just think the lack of clarity is seemingly unkind.
All right. What, Trayvon, what are you seeing? Well, I tell you what, anything you want to respond to from a guy's perspective about these situations that Oakley has delivered to us?
Well, here, I'll go through my three because okay. I think it'll actually unravel a little bit of, surprisingly, the three that I wrote down and I've kind of gotten from guys aren't too different from what the girls are saying. But one of the first ones is the confusion on how to pursue the ladies of being labeled creepy or too forward of, you want them to come forward, but then it's like, and I got a theory, but I'm like, if you like the guy and you're like, ooh, I really want him to talk to, you're so excited and happy that he came forward. If you don't like the guy, you're not interested, then he's creepy, he's too forward. And so there's a lot of confusion there of like, okay, what is appropriate for me to like come up to you regardless of how you feel? The second thing that a lot of guys commented on is there has been a lot of our guys who have asked girls on dates and they have consistently talked about essentially being ghosted on the first date of like right as it's approaching, kind of the backing out of like, hey, no, this isn't gonna work or some type of excuse and not really following up.
Are you saying like before the first date?
Yes.
So they say yes in person and then no mm-hmm.
and so,
later?
Yeah. And so, and some of them, it's the no through a text after like a personal approach. And so I think that's a huge thing. But then the third thing was lack of clarity and interest. And I mean, I just think back to even when I was dating. Sometimes I think girls think they're flirting a lot more than what they are. And they think it's obvious and guys have no clue. And so I think going into that, there's a lot of lack of clarity of, am I actually interested in you? Because of a lot of the things that we've actually talked about in our office, whether it's the friendly relationships, how frequently we're hanging out and different things. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of...
Here's one observation that as I listen to you guys talk in the office and even now, like I think that what I notice the most is the insecurities and fears that women have feed the insecurities and fears that men have and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Meaning that what girls are worried about, concerned about, fearful of, the way they deal with that fear and insecurity actually feeds the fear that the guys have. And so the guys respond in a way that actually feeds the fear that the girls have. And it's this constant feeding of fear and insecurity. And so I think that as we get through this and we talk about it, that's a key thing to understand, is that that's a real problem when, because what ends up happening, I think we talk about this today, is what we do then is we date solely through the view of self-protection. And the one another's go out the door because we're so scared that we might get hurt, that we might, you know, miss out, whatever, then all of a sudden we're not actually honoring one another. So what's the solution?
I always think from both sides, so I'll say from the girl side and the guy side, an immense amount of clarity is consistently kind. Being clear about intentions, wanting to spend time with someone, get to know someone, erring on the side, we have a lot of verses that we've talked about in our conversations, and I know we had several on the screens, but several that talk about honoring one another and respecting one another. Romans 12:10 talks about honoring one another even above your own self. And so looking at it through the lens of, is what I'm doing and saying and how I'm behaving, is that showing honor and respect to the person that I'm interacting with? I think that if there was a little bit more clarity that was offered from the guy's perspective, from the guy's side of things, that if they were to take into consideration, like maybe hanging out one-on-one or maybe texting this girl all the time, or maybe, you know, even if it seems harmless to me, how could they be thinking about that? And taking that into consideration might change the way that we interact with someone that we strictly just want to be our friend, and then may speed up the process to intentionally start pursuing someone that we see potential with. And then what I want to say to the girls in the room also is, I see this time and time again where so many of us get caught in these kind of vicious and unhealthy and toxic cycles that, you know, you're showing up because you're thinking, maybe I can play the long game, or maybe that I can, you know, maybe there's something here. And so we kind of stick around. And what I want to say to you is, I think some of this might be eliminated if we also had more respect for ourselves. That if we recognize men are being unclear and they're not actually asking me on the date, they're texting, but there's no follow through, and I don't really know where they stand, that you also have the potential and the possibility to just shut that down and walk away and respect yourself as well. So I would definitely encourage that too. I've counseled some high school girls in the past couple of years, and they're so honest, and also so naive, and aren't we all? But you know, there's 16-year-old girls I'm talking to, and they honestly tell me, they're like, sometimes I kind of like the back and forth, like push and pull toxic behavior. And I'm like, you're saying what a lot of people never would say out loud, but I do think that that's probably true for many people, that there's kind of this thrill and this excitement for some toxicity in the relationship and some unhealthiness. Because again, we all want to chase the passion and chase the pleasure and chase the ego building, exciting dating patterns. But I tell these girls, I'm like, these men, 16-year-old guys, are not treating you with respect. You need to respect yourself more. And it's okay for you to walk away. And I think that all circles back to, again, the singleness conversation we had in the beginning, that if we see it as a problem to be solved and a disease to be cured, we will see it as a lesser than opportunity. When in reality, every season God has us in is a season where we can grow closer to Him and be a disciple of Jesus and make disciples. So respect yourselves on both sides and be clear.
I love everything you just said, for the most part. There's so much nuance in it.
There's a lot of nuance.
Yep. A lot of nuance. But I do agree, because like one of the things we talked about in the lack of clarity and where we put ourselves in positions, I think on both sides, we settle for what we think is gonna come out of what at times is obvious. Like my mom used to say, don't put your hand on a hot stove. And so I think of even the clarity of hanging out in friendships. And I think we gotta be honest of how we hide behind some of these titles and labels to kind of sit in between of what we want. And earlier we talked about, like, I've heard a lot of you who are like, well, this is my friend and it's of the opposite sex. And can we just be honest of, like, if you've kissed your friend, That's going to be a conflict later on when you're dating someone else, right? It, to a certain extent, if you're hanging out one-on-one with a friend of the opposite sex, someone, the assumptions will come out of, hey, I think that you're dating someone else. I'm going to assume that you're not available. And there's so much that comes in there of boundaries of like, yeah, if you're hanging out till all hours of the night in one-on-one settings, kind of like Oakley is talking about, one, the you're letting down the wall of temptation that can come in, but then it's so hard. And it's not to say that your heart's desire isn't to be platonic and care for them well, but it's not honoring or respectful in the boundaries of what you're actually doing. Because on both sides, what you're kind of creating is, I can get everything that I want out of you under the label of friendship. And so then we get caught up when one person catches feelings and it's like, hey, well, I want to be more than friends, but then it's like, this is what we've always been. But then there's also blurred lines in between. And so I think we got to stop hiding behind things like that in the clarity of like, hey, if we're friends, let's call it that. If we're not and I'm pursuing you, let's be clear of the intention of that. But then, and specific to guys, because I hear you guys get caught up on this a lot, if you weren't friends before, after you date someone or you've pursued them, you cannot break up with them and then still desire to keep everything that you got with the friendship, saying, hey, I think we would be better as friends. You weren't friends before. So that reality, again, that's not clear, because you're telling her, I still want everything of you, but I don't think that you're enough. And so that's where the clarity and the honor and respect that we're talking about of just loving one another and putting someone above yourself, it's thinking of how is this going to come off on the opposite end of what I'm saying and doing.
It's interesting to think about why, what the patterns that we see and the patterns we hear about in the dating world really can be boiled down to, we don't want it to hurt. We don't want to put ourselves in a vulnerable position, which leads to self-protection, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that I promise I wouldn't talk a whole lot, but here we go. The ratio of relationships that won't work to the one relationship that will work is way, way out of whack. Like, the relationships that you will attempt to get into and that will end are gonna greatly outweigh the one relationship that you're hoping to find and have for the rest of your life. And so I think we have to maybe think about, what is our capacity to deal with difficulty? And I know that's a topic that we have talked about. So you guys wanna talk about that idea of not being so self-protective because we're not willing to deal with difficult.
I think one thing I've seen in marriage is, one, there's so much that attracted me to Shelby, but one of the most amazing things was how she took care of me when I was in a wreck that almost took my life. But even more so, as we've navigated life together, I've realized that a lot of the superficial things, whether it's sex or, hey, how much we have fun together and all those things, life keeps changing it. And we are in the thick of it with two kids now, but then it's like, what do I go back to is like, I need her in the moments where life gets hard. That's where it truly is a gift in the relationship of, it's I can hang out with any buddy or friend and have fun when I'm in a good place. But who is there and sees me in my most vulnerable spot and is like, hey, even though you're a Debbie Downer right now, even though you're no fun, I'm with you. Hey, I see you're hurting, and even though I can't do anything, I'm with you and I love you. And I think it really is seeing that, like, when you gotta do life, and eventually you're gonna be, if we're talking dating for marriage with kids and you're talking the rest of your life, it's not if, but when will hard times come. And the last thing you want is to spend every day with someone and then when the tough time comes, they're like, hey, you're on your own. Like, you wanna talk about the isolation of feeling alone when you're single? Imagine when you have a title that ties someone to being there for you and they are not. Like, that's gonna hurt so much worse. And so we have to think about, like, is this someone who's gonna stick with me in life?
I know a lot of you in this room. I don't know everyone, but I know a lot of you, and I know your faith, and I know you are so excited for the things that Jesus is doing and how he has transformed you and changed you. You are on fire for the gospel. You are sharing the gospel. You are pursuing community. When I think about this question of capacity, I would never, ever, ever encourage anyone to settle for anything less than someone that is also expressing the exact same vigor and zeal and excitement for embracing kingdom living as you are. And if what I just said doesn't describe you, gosh, I pray that God would light a fire under you tonight, that you would fall madly in love with Jesus before you try to pursue or be pursued by anyone else in this room, because that is what matters so much. But to those that are chasing Jesus, and to those that I am encouraging not to settle for anything less, when you're thinking about who to date, who to invite into your life, who to run the race well alongside you, and I know we got several questions about what does equally yoked even mean? What does that look like? How do you determine if someone's equally yoked as you? And I get that, just that struggle and that wrestling, because we've talked about from stage, you'll never marry a finished product. You will marry someone that's in process because you also are in process. But nonetheless, I would encourage you to think about someone's, exactly what Andy said, the word capacity in their life. And what I mean by that is tragedy will strike, things will get stressful, life will get overwhelming, you yourself will go through spiritual warfare of all different kinds. You can never predict what will happen. And when life squeezes you, what comes out of you, the overflow of the heart, will be what you have invested your time and energy in. Is that of the Holy Spirit? Is that time spent with Jesus and his community and his people and his church? Or is it other things? Because it will come out regardless. And I saw recently, I can't take credit for this type of encouragement, because I saw on Instagram recently, this gal was kind of talking and she was like, I want someone. She goes, I'm in the church. I love Jesus. And I think there are guys that would want to date me. And she wasn't being proud or anything, but she was saying, I think guys would want to date me because I could pray for them and I'm serving in church and I love the Lord. And we're fun to be around, all the things. But she was like, I want someone that when life gets hard, has the capacity to navigate spiritual warfare and hard things alongside me. That if I'm covering myself in prayer and the demons can't get to me, if they go to him, are they gonna be able to get to him? Or does he have the same capacity to pray about himself and protect himself in the exact same way? Does he have the capacity that if I'm going out and I'm living my life on mission for Jesus, that he can be home to pray for me and to cover me in what I need for that day? And same goes both ways. I'm just speaking from a girl's perspective because I am a girl, but I think about capacity a lot, that I'm like, don't settle and compromise for someone that does not have the capacity to engage in life's hardest things with you, because they will come up. And you should date probably long enough to at least weather a couple storms to see what does happen, how does life look when we go through something hard together.
Well, and the hard part about that is our whole culture is built around avoiding that. Avoiding difficulty, avoiding uncomfortableness, avoiding awkwardness. You think about the amount of money that is spent to distract ourselves, to disengage, to fantasize, to escape. Like, we are inadvertently training ourselves to be incapable of having capacity to deal with hard things. And so that's just a natural cultural frustration and boundary that we have to actually push through. Like, you think about cancel culture kind of stuff, is like, as soon as someone disagrees with us, we're like, we're done. Like, what is that going to form in anyone? Just quit? You're getting ready, just training for divorce. Like, what are we doing? Like, let's engage to understand and work through the difficulty. So anyway, you were gonna say something, Trayvon.
Yeah, because I have it written down, and one of the things that I've seen in some of our young adults in dating, of knowing when to discuss this and how to go into it, because there's nothing worse than trying to talk to someone and being spiritually evaluated before you are actually even known. And I think we have to understand,
so like, snap judgments.
Yeah, yeah, like, we can't make snap judgments. And also, capacity is, to what level can they rise up to that? It doesn't mean that they are there. And so I think we have to know how to even look at that as we're talking about it too, because, I mean, sometimes we can be real unkind to one another in how we just evaluate, okay, well, I have the capacity to be patient and do this with you, you don't. And so we write people off sometimes so quick. And so I think we gotta really be mindful of, like, again, going back to the core verses of, is this, am I being patient and loving even in my evaluation of someone else? Am I giving room for God to work in them, but also not aspirationally placing them as someone that they are not? So,
well, it sounds like that. Are we willing to wait on God and his pace for someone's development and maturity? Mm-hmm. Or if we don't see it immediately, are we done? And that goes back to, again, some of our core things of, like, do we actually trust God? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord. Bring him into the situation and he will make your path straight. Honoring one another above yourself. Sometimes my pace is not God's pace. In fact, when you look at scripture, God's pace is always slower than our pace. 1,000% of the time. We don't like to wait. We don't like to be patient. We just like to get moving and get moving because we have a fear of missing out on a better option kind of idea. So let's move really quickly to tendencies. We had a good conversation about this today. Oakley, from a girl's perspective, when they look at dating, what's the tendency that drives the decisions, the tendency that drives the, I don't know, the fears, insecurities? What are you, and Trayvon, we'll do the same thing with the guys. Like, what's the tendency that we just naturally lean into that maybe the opposite sex needs to hear a little bit about?
I think on the girl's side of things, the tendency that many women can have, and I'm not saying every woman ever has, but
we're speaking in general.
You also see it in Genesis. I'm like, we can go back to Genesis, yep, and we can talk about that to kind of tie in some of those, like, core fears and tendencies. But I would say for females, often it can be summed up in the word control. And for some of you in the room, you're like, absolutely not, that's not me. But I think about it, like, and maybe we wouldn't identify it as control, but I want to have assurance. I want to feel safe. I want to feel security in what's happening, that I know the outcome so that I, again, don't have to put myself in a vulnerable place. And I can have all of kind of the I's dotted, T's crossed so that I don't have to get hurt. And I can, yeah, I can control the outcome. So I think it would boil down to, we want to have control. We see in a dating sense, just like we desire that sense of security and safety. And then you think, I see it definitely play out even in my own marriage and with women I talk to in their own marriages, that desire to have kind of control over many aspects, because let's face it, women, we're high capacity. You guys are awesome. I talk to so many amazing women that, like, literally can conquer the world. Like, you guys are crushing it. And yet, if we're not careful, some of those tendencies that make you amazing coworkers and awesome friends and incredible partners can overtake in a really negative and ultimately sinful way.
Yeah, if I had to sum it up for the guys, it's pretty easy to target passivity. I think it is so easy as a guy to fall into a place of, if it happens, it happens. But if I don't have a challenge or passion or purpose, then I will just float through. And I see it with a lot of guys of, like, oh, it'll just happen. We don't set the goal. We don't pursue it intentionally. And in that, we just don't do a lot of things. We just assume that it's going to happen and we deal with the consequences of it. And so we drift into a lot of situations of, I just ended up here because I never made a decision of where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do. And I think it's so dangerous. I think we see it in dating of guys who, one, were so passive of, like, oh, eventually someone will come up to me, or, like, she'll let me know she likes me. And it's like, yeah, they can show that interest, but at what point are you gonna go and actually pursue and do what you want? I think passivity.
Which is an interesting conundrum we have here is, you think about the theme of, like, self-protection we've been talking about a little bit. Like, it's easy for guys to be passive because if I'm passive, I don't get hurt. I can't be rejected.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, with control, it becomes self-protective.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna wait, because that's part of the cultural frustration that I hear from girls is, well, I'm just waiting. I'm a victim of waiting for these guys to get their act together and ask somebody out. And that sucks. And so control could be the easy, like, well, I'll just go take, I'll work this out. And so I think that highlights
or
this.
Or become cynical.
Or become cynical and bitter, right? And so again, it goes back to that idea of like, what the girls are feeling, what the guys are feeling are actually working against each other. Yeah. And so coming back to this principle of pursuing and honoring one another above ourselves, like gentlemen, you need to man up is the bottom line. Get off your passivity.
Hey, don't be too quick with that.
Hey, guys, the very first week when we put up the red flags thing out there, I talked to three girls. I was just standing there. I was like, what's your red flag? All three of them said passivity of men. That's it. So, gentlemen, it's time to be courageous. It is time to be willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there. And if they reject you, deal with it, all right? God may have just saved you from something that you shouldn't have gone down anyway. So I think that there's this idea. And then what I would say to the ladies that want control is like, if he doesn't ask you out the exact way you want to be asked out in the exact situation and wording, like, be okay with that. It doesn't have to be perfect for you to say, yeah, let's do that. And so that's a giving up of yourself. Gentlemen, we're gonna have to give up our comfort, because the reality of it is, I was just confessing to these guys today, I was like, what I grew up in dating was totally different. It is so different. You guys, it is very complicated. In my day, there were no shortcuts to talking to females. There was no texting. There was no DMs. You didn't even have a cell phone. If you wanted to talk to a girl, you had to go talk to her. Or you called her house and talked to her parents first. When they answered the phone, you said, can I talk to your daughter? And they're like, why? Like, technology forced us men to man up. Like, you had to do it. But now we have all these shortcuts of like, hey, I can get my lustful thoughts and things, I can get that dealt with other ways. I don't have to commit to anything. I can serve myself all day long, right? And so I think that there is a part of this that we have to look and say, like, this is who we naturally tend to be. How do I work the opposite way in honoring one another? So let's do this. We're running out of time. We could probably do this a lot longer, but we've got a lot of questions. Were there any, you want to hit any of these?
I told you guys I would expose myself with a story in one of these questions, or to answer a couple of them. There was a question that we had, and a couple of them that actually were kind of like shades of this question of like, can girls make the first move? Because we're kind of waiting around, and then you can become cynical or like want to take control and want to make something happen. And so I was like, I'm going to tell this story to expose myself and hopefully also to encourage the women and men in this room, because there's actually a lot of elements to the story that could be answered in a lot of these questions. When I was in college, there was this guy that he was in my same friend group, and I had kind of gotten to know him a little bit through being in the friend group with him. And I really had a crush on him. I was like, I really want to go on a date with this guy, but he was doing nothing to make that happen. And so if you ever need like a yes woman, like, yeah, you should go and make the move. You should come talk to me. There's a lot of other women that would encourage more of the waiting, which probably you should talk to them first.
Why are you pointing at me? What?
No, not you. No, I just, you know them. We're talking about waiting. But anyways, so I'm friends with this guy, whatever, in the same friend group. And so I remember I went up to him one day at church and I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, if you ever wanted to ask me on a date, I think you should. And I would say yes. Like, I'd be really happy to go on a date with you.
Bold.
And, yeah. And he was like, I don't want to go on a date with you. And I was like, okay. He was kind about it.
But what did he do? This is fantastic.
He was kind about it. So he said some other words probably, you know, but that's just what I heard. And then he was like, hey, can we, like, I actually want to talk to you about it. So we went on a walk later on that day, and he kind of explained to me, he was like, yeah, this is kind of where I'm at in life. Like, don't feel like I want to date, and, you know, just am not in that place. Think you're great. Love being your friend. But, you know, I just want to be really clear with you about where I'm at and why, like, I don't think going on a date would be the best option for us. And we probably fist bumped it out and, you know, our Facebook friends still. So it's one of those, it hits a couple of the questions we got, because there's ways to respectfully reject someone. Mm-hmm. There's ways rejection can be really good. Andy already hit on that. There's ways that girls in the room, you can also share. I've told girls this before. I'm like, hey, if the guy's waffling around and not doing anything about asking you out, I have zero qualms with you going to them and saying, hey, I've really enjoyed getting to know you in the spaces we've gotten to know each other here or in our friend group, whatever. I would love to get coffee sometime if you're ever down. Let me know if you'd want to get to know me and we can kind of hang out in that capacity. But if not, just know I respect you, I admire you, and would love to kind of get to know you a little better. I think if any guy heard that, I personally, and you can speak into this, I don't feel like that's taking charge or putting the pants on in a relationship. I feel that that is also, as a girl, offering clarity from this side of things to say, hey, I'm gonna be confident and put myself out there as well, let you know that I admire you and respect who you are. But then also, ball's kind of in your court that if you wanna ask me out and go on a date, and then ladies, be ready for them to say sometimes, like, no, I'm not feeling it. And that's okay too. And then you just move forward and look, I'm still here today and it is still fine. And so anyways, there were a couple questions that kind of addresses
let me jump in there. I disagree with this. So this may be a generational issue, but I remember there was a girl in my high school that walked to me. She's like, hey, would you ever say yes to a girl if she asked you to homecoming? I was like, absolutely not. For this very reason.
We do have actually opposing views on
we
this.
We do. But here's the... I don't necessarily disagree, like I'm not gonna die on that hill. But to go back to what we were talking about just a minute ago, there is that gray area, like this is all gray area, honestly. Like it leans, it kind of feeds the passivity of that guy. And that's where I wanna talk to the guys and say, don't put our ladies in that situation where they have to, like, hey, dude, I'm interested in you. We agreed to disagree on this.
They did.
But I just think there's that weird nuance of like, I don't want to give him the opportunity to be passive and it be rewarded.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. There's no silver bullet to fix that, but I think that's a reality.
I mean, yeah, earlier when we talked about it, I think I landed on the end of, I'm perfectly okay with a girl saying, hey, I am very much interested if you want to take me on a date. But leave it there, because then let the guy actually set up the date. Let him ask you out and go for it, because if not, if you do all of it, you're never going to know, like, did I just do everything and he just agreed? Or did he actually like me? Going back to, don't put yourself in a position where you lose clarity because you didn't give him the opportunity to be clear.
Can I bring up one thing that I've seen over the years in our young adult ministry is, again, this goes back to that competing things, is that I've seen guys tell me multiple times that unless girls are interested in them, they're not nice to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty common feeling for guys, is that if girls are not interested in them, they're just not really kind or friendly. But then the opposite, I've also seen this, the girls that are friendly to all the guys, they get asked out nonstop, and it's super annoying. Because the girls are like, I'm just trying to be nice. And they're just asking me out, but here's the crazy thing. The reason they're asking you out is because they're so desperate for a girl to be nice to them that they take it as, oh, they must like me. Because the only girls that treat me nice are the ones that like me. You see what the problem here? So here's the thing. Ladies, I want to encourage you to be nice to your brothers in Christ. Smile at them. Say, hey, nice to see you. It's good to see you. Now, guys, put on the brakes, okay? Like, don't just tap them. Like, just push the brake. Be like, what's actually happening right now?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just listening to Andy and they're being nice to me because I'm their brother in Christ. Yes. Just wait. Jesus. Just wait and see, like, okay. Like, does that make sense? I see it happen all the time. Because these girls who are actually nice to guys, they stop being nice to guys because they're constantly getting asked out by guys they don't want to go out with. And they're just trying to be nice. And the guys are like, girls are just mean to me. They're not kind. Like, it's just this weird... And it's just frustrating. How do we honor one another? How do we love one another? How do we bear burdens with one another? And it just changes how we function. Let's just slow down and not lead with our insecurities and not grasp at every opportunity for someone to fix us or fix our situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so there was one question that I think was fun for us to talk through, and it was, is it okay to go on a date with two different people at the same time?
Oh, boy.
And, it was actually quite interesting on even how we unraveled it.
We should do a poll to who thinks said yes, it's okay, and who thinks it's not okay.
Literally, there is a yes dash someone's name up here, no dash someone's name up here.
So. Go ahead, Trent, sorry.
But,
this was a fun conversation.
So you want to, do y'all want to answer? Who do y'all think said, yes, it's okay? Dang, like, why y'all assuming me? No, it wasn't me. It was actually Oakley.
It was me. I think Trayvon agreed with me at some point. He's just chickening out now. But no,
Who do you think said no?
I won't make eye contact.
That guy. So, say what you said earlier, though.
Even after presenting my best argument, Andy was like, I don't agree with you. So, no, hear me say, like, we really do have some, like, controversial conversations, and then we probably have to wrap up. We're going over time tremendously. What I'll say on this, and I actually had this conversation with someone last week. She came to me and she was like, I got, literally, like, hadn't been on a date in a year, got a text from two different guys in the same day asking her to go out. And they were kind of set up situations, like she didn't know them prior. And so she was like, how do you feel about that? And I was like, I honestly would say go for it, because you're going on to coffee with someone to get to know them and to see, like, if you see potential in moving forward towards a relationship with someone. What I cautioned her in was I was saying, this will lead to disaster if you continue to do this for multiple dates with multiple people. For so many reasons. And so I don't think that you should continue to do that. I think that you need to go in evaluative and ready to kind of pray through and discern and decide, if they keep asking you on second, third, fourth dates, where do I want to invest my time and energy and make a decision?
I can get behind that. That's good.
So, okay. So anyways, that was kind of the whole kind of the argument that I had was, and I think online dating too, also kind of just, it's a bit different when you are, we talked about this as well. Like when you're on a dating app, for example, I think dating, going on multiple first dates at a time is a bit more normalized. But I still think the same principle remains: go in honest, communicate clearly, and make decisions.
And so Andy said no, and a lot of it was based off of, again, is it furthering the thought of, like, I'm holding out for something better? And that's a oversimplification, but that would be it. And where I kind of landed in the middle and where we all kind of talked through was, one, the importance of clarity throughout it, of, like, if someone communicates, now you have the option of whether that is okay with you and you step out of that, or whether you're like, hey, go on that date with the other person, but let me know where we stand. But one of the things that I did want to share on that was, we also got to come to a place where we can all be on the same page of what is dating, what is talking, what is, hey, we're just getting to know each other. Because I'll be honest, when some of y'all talk to me, I have to ask point blank, like, where are you at and what do you mean? And I think the same is happening amongst each other whenever you're talking. Well, we're just talking, but then one of you gets offended when you find out the other person has gone on another date because you thought that meant that you're exclusive. And again, I think in all of these conversations, there's so much that's getting lost in just the reality that we're not having clarifying conversations. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to define the relationship, but at least make sure y'all are on the same page of where you're at and what you're okay with. And I'd encourage both sides of, be bold enough to tell the truth of what is okay and what is not. Because if you say you're okay with it and it's really gonna hurt, going back to, you're putting yourself in a position to hurt yourself. And so we have to own that in all of these nuanced situations of, be clear with your own heart before you expect someone else to.
Well, and it's such a common issue that we have names for it, the situationship. Like, that's literally a term because people are not clear. And we're using each other for a short-term feeling instead of caring and honoring one another. All right, let's wrap this up. Oakley, what do the guys need to hear from the girls? Let's do it rapid fire.
It'll be quick. The first thing is pursue Jesus with everything you have. I think that that is definitely something that I hear from the women is where are the guys that love Jesus, that are ready to date, that are mature, that are wanting to pursue me, that will ask me out. Pursue Jesus, fall in love with him, and then if you want to get married, ask a girl out. Be clear and intentional. Lead with clarity. Lead yourself first. So I think about this. Be the type of person that you, if you had a future daughter someday, that you would feel excited about your future daughter dating. So think about it in that way, like someone that came from you that you feel a lot of, you know, ownership of, that you would feel protective of. Be the type of person that you would be excited for your little girl someday to actually go out on a date with and know that they would feel cared for and respected. And then lastly, this one's really important also, learn how to ask good questions. Be a good communicator. Do not go on a first date to have someone that can listen to you share a monologue about yourself for an hour, or go on a first date expecting the girl to come up with all of the questions and lead the discussion. Learn how to be curious. Learn how to ask good questions. Be a good conversationalist.
Trayvon, what do the ladies need to hear?
Be kind. Know the risk of putting yourself out there and the pressure on both sides, but again, know that your words and your actions have a trickle effect. And just like we're saying, you're someone's daughter, that's someone's son. You are responsible for your obedience, not the outcome. And basically saying, like, you're responsible for your walk in Christ. And I look at this even in relationships now of like, we are called to love one another, not necessarily in response of how they treat you, but you have to speak for what you did. And so you're responsible for your obedience. I feel for you in the time gap, but don't settle. You healthy single is better than shattered dating. And so know and trust that God sees you, he loves you. And at the end of the day, a status of a relationship or anything else is not gonna change, fix, or do anything for you that God can't. And so it may be an oversimplification, but you have to love yourself. You have to know that God loves you. And then regardless of if someone else does, you can know that the truth is stated, you are loved, you are lovable. And so.
All right. Guys, we're gonna close it there. Let me pray for us, and then we got a couple announcements and we'll let you all out of here. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you just for your word that guides us principally. God, that we can trust you. God, that you have instructed us to view one another as not a commodity, but as a brother and a sister in Christ, someone to be loved and cared for, protected and served. And so, Lord, would you give us eyes to see how we need to walk in obedience and surrender to you, and that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear how we can love and honor one another in this whole process of dating. And so, Lord, we just want you to get all the glory in how we date, that we would date for your glory and for the good of those we date. In your son's name, amen. Trayvon, what we got announcement-wise?
Absolutely. So if this is your first time here, we always want to connect with you. And so at the back of the room, you'll see the blue light. If you're a first-time guest, if you'll go back there, we'd love, in exchange for some information, one, to connect with you, take you out to lunch, coffee. We want this to be a place where we actually know you as staff and can interact with you. But also, if you're looking for a church to get plugged into, every Sunday upstairs in room 230, we have a Sunday school class for young adults. We walk through how to read and comprehend and study God's word. And so we'd love to have you join us for that. One of the sad parts, after next week, the gathering is going on a break. So if you show up here during the month of June, you will be alone. And so, but with that, there are tons of ways to continue to connect with us. Volleyball on Sunday nights is back as well. Like I said, we are still in session every Sunday for church. Our staff and our people are around. We are available. So we want to continue to connect with you, but we will not be having the gathering. And then I know I just said it, volleyball Sunday nights is back. Last two things, our social shout out, which I am famous for butchering, but our winners are up on the board. And so if this is you, come to the back table. We'd love to just honor you sharing and being a part of, again, sharing with the world what our ministry is about. And then our last thing is we brought up Hannah, and as you know, her residency end, and she's still gonna be around, but with the ending of one chapter begins a new one. And so our new grad resident is Andy St. Clair. And so if you wanna come on stage real quick.
Andy!
Yeah. And so Andy's gonna be a part of our team for the next year. We're excited to see the number of things that she steps into. And so one, if you have not, introduce yourself to her. She'll be around and we're so excited. And so I'd love to close us in a prayer for Andy as she begins, as well as just sending you off for the night. And so if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just a new chapter that is beginning in the gathering, as well as specifically in Andy's life. Lord, as you have called her into exploring the route of ministry, Lord, would you protect her? Would you guide her? Would you use her gifts in mighty ways throughout this ministry that we can't even comprehend right now? Lord, as we have had this conversation tonight, and we know that it has stirred emotions in the audience of where they sit in their own relational status, what their desires and their hearts are, God, would you first just speak to their spirits? Would you let them know that you see them as an individual before you see them through any other lens? And so God, would you begin to unravel the nuance of these conversations, that we would know that as we seek to be honoring to you, we can be honoring to one another, and that so much of this can be clarified in the in-between just as we set our focus on you. And so God, would you settle our hearts? Would you send us out? Would you protect over us and guide us? And it's in your son's name we pray, amen.